The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
We continue to walk through the book of Acts, talking about the church continuing to be the church. Last week we saw where the disciples had such respect from the people, and that the Holy Spirit was doing a marvelous work, and that their influence was touching people's lives to the point that they even just wished their shadows could fall upon them and influence them. But then, as a result of such popularity of the disciples and the growth that was happening within the church, made some of the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders of Israel, became jealous. So in verse 17 of Acts chapter 5, verse 17, that but the high priest arose up along with his associates, that is, a sect of the Sadducees, and the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And they were filled with jealousy, and they laid hands on the apostles and put them in public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the gate of the prison, taking them out, and said, "Go and stand and speak to the people of the temple this whole message of this life." And upon hearing this, they entered into the temple about daybreak and began to teach. And when the high priest and his associates came, they called the council together, even as the senate of the sons of Israel, and sent orders to the prison house for them to be brought. But the officers who came did not find them in the prison. They returned and reported back, saying, "We found the prison house locked quite securely, and the guards standing in the doors. And when we had opened up, no one inside." And when the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them as to what would come of this. But someone came and reported, "The men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." And the captain went along with the officers and proceeded to bring them back without violence, for they were afraid of the people, what they might be stoned. And when they brought them, they stood before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name. Yet you fill Jerusalem with your teachings and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had him put to death by the hanging him on the cross. He's the one whom God exalted to the right hand as the prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." You can't pick up the New Testament without understanding and realizing that that early church was blessed by God. Marvelous things were happening. Signs and wonders were being performed by the work of the Holy Spirit. God was using them in great ways. One of the greatest blessings, one of the greatest indications of the fact that God was blessing them and that people were joining the church. And church growth is always a sign of the blessings of God which comes. We make excuses in our world today why, you know, we're not growing and whatever, but the bottom line is that we, don't have the blessings of God upon our lives and such sometimes that is really touching the hearts and lives of people, you know. And it's, you know, when we have the blessings of God upon our lives, a lot of things happen. Lives are changed. Families are restored. People begin to obey God. And daily people are brought into the church and they're saved. And the gospel of Jesus is spread throughout the world, and the community is an indication. Now, that's what ultimately happened in this church. And as we walk through this book of Acts, you're eventually going to come to the 11th chapter where the gospel moved beyond just Jerusalem into the Gentile world. And the church at Antioch, the blessings of God moved upon that church to the point it said the hand of God was upon them and they witnessed the grace of God upon them. And it was there they were first called Christians. There was something unique that was happening. And it's because they had become witnesses that began to share the gospel everywhere. And the 11th chapter said that they preached Jesus unto, you know, those that they came to witness to. They had become his witnesses in everything. Now, it's hard for me to read this New Testament without, and especially the book of Acts, without realizing that God has called us to be his witnesses and that we're supposed to be witnessing. But he had, God blessed this church. And from the indications that we read here just a moment ago, the greatest desire in the hearts and the lives of those disciples and the early apostles and the early church was that they wanted to be approved of God. They wanted to be blessed of God. They wanted God's blessings upon their lives. In the fourth chapter, we've already looked at that passage of Scripture, but when Peter and John were answered and they were told no longer to preach in the name of Jesus, Peter and John answered them and said, "Whether it's right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking that which we've seen and heard." Here today they stand and they said we must obey God rather than men. It was a deep desire for them to be approved of God. Reminds me of the prayer that Paul prayed for the Colossian church when he prayed for them in the first chapter in the 10th verse, that he prayed that they would walk worthy of the Lord and they would be pleasing unto God in all things. That's my prayer basically for our church, that we would, you know, be approved of God and have God's blessings upon our heart, upon our lives, and upon our church, and that we would be obedient to him. But what are the characteristics of a church that is approved by God? What are those things that was really happening and taking place? Well, I think there's an indication in these verses of Scripture right here in the latter part, as after Peter and after the apostles had been arrested and put in jail, an angel of the Lord delivered them. And he did it miraculously because he left the prison locked, and he told them when he delivered them, he said, "I want you to go back into the temple and do the same thing they arrested you for. You go and teach these people about the real meaning of life, the message of life that comes through Jesus Christ. So you go back and continue to be witnesses." Now, they had already faced that when Peter and John had been arrested earlier for healing, you know, the lame man. They went back to the church and they prayed for more boldness to be able to continue to witness. Even in the midst of their opposition, they became witnesses unto him and continued to be his witnesses. And they prayed for more power to be able to be that witness. And here, you know, to continue to preach and teach in the name of Jesus. Now here they are, commanded by the angel of God, you go back and continue to preach and teach this message of life. And then when they were found out, they were brought back before that council of the high priest, and they said, "We told you not to preach anymore in his name." And so Peter's response was, "We must obey God." And, you know, and he talks about, he's the God of our fathers who raised Jesus from the dead. He preached the gospel again. You hung him on a cross. God raised him from the dead. God raised him up, highly exalted him, and given him a name, ultimately above every name, gave him a prince and made him a savior for the repentance of sin and for repentance of Israel and forgiveness of sin. Then he said, "And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit." Now, from that passage of Scripture, I think we can draw some conclusions about the things that and the kind of church that God approves. First of all, is a church that has the right motive. They had a desire to please God above everything else. They said, "We must obey God rather than men." Obey God rather than men. See, what it boils down to is that our opinion doesn't mean much in anything. What I want, what I desire, it doesn't really matter. But what God wants matters more than anything else in the world. What does God really want? Because I'm telling you, we need to be to the point where we are on our knees before God and saying, "God, what do you want us to do? What is it that we're supposed to be doing to please you, to walk worthy of you and to please you in all things?" We need to be praying that for individual lives. We need to be praying that for a church and asking God to show us and give us a clear indication of what his will is for our lives. And then we have to make that we need the right motive behind our lives. If we're going to be approved by God, you know, and have God's blessings upon our lives, then we must be obedient to God rather than men. Next Sunday is the 3rd of July, and it'll be the Sunday for the 4th. And not right now, I plan to take that passage of Scripture and expound on it as it applies to the nation and some of the things that are happening in our world today. Folks, we're worried about being politically correct in our world today when we need to be worried about being obedient to God and doing what God wants us to do. It's more important than anything else in the world. If we're going to be a church, you know, it doesn't matter what we've done in the past. It doesn't matter what we're doing now. The question is, what does God want us to do facing our future. We must be obedient to God in all things, and we need to be praying and committed to that task to say, God, we're going to do whatever it is you lead us to do and be obedient. That's where it begins. That's where the blessings of God has to start, in our obedience to the Lord. And the second thing is, not only do they have the right motive, a desire to be approved of God, but they also understood their mission. They had a mission. And that mission was to be witnesses to Jesus Christ. In the first chapter of Acts, if you remember when the disciples were standing there before Jesus ascended into heaven, they were wanting to know about the kingdom of God and all those questions and answers so many times. And Jesus said, look, those are set by God, and there'll come a point in time when you'll understand whatever. But right now you need to understand this. When the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses. Beginning where? In Jerusalem, which is where they were, then into Judea, and then into Samaria, and then into the othermost parts of the earth. And the story of the church continuing is a story of that church being witnesses for Christ. Now, what happened? The power of the Holy Spirit came, and what did they immediately do? They began to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they began to preach. They became witnesses unto those. The result was 3,000 people came to know Christ that same day. Now, then when they go in and were arrested, Peter and John were arrested at the temple, you know, for preaching and sharing the gospel of Christ. You know, what did they do? They continued to be the witnesses for Christ. When they were released, they went back to the church, and they told the church what had happened. And what did they do? They prayed for more power to be his witnesses and to share the witness of Christ. And, and as a result of their faithfulness and a desire to continue to be obedient to the mission God had given them, God continued to bless them. More souls were saved. People were brought into the kingdom of God. And they because they were witnesses of Christ. And here now Peter stands before these people and said, not only is our motive to be obedient to God, but I want you to know we understand our mission, and we are witnesses of these things. We're to be witnessing everywhere we go and in everything we do. And they took every opportunity that happened, whether it was good or bad, whether it was opposition or whether it was in the midst of blessing, and nothing took place in their life that they did not use that as a moment to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be witnesses unto the power of Christ. Sometimes we can get so wrapped up into our own hearts and lives that we fail to realize that God has given us a mission. The primary mission is, as the church of Jesus Christ, is that we become his witnesses. If we fail to be his witness, then we fail in all the other things that we do. Now, the other things we do as a church, we worship as part of what we're doing, you know, in the morning, the reading we gather on Sunday morning to be a part of worship. We fellowship together. Fellowship is important. Worship is important. Our missions and ministry unto other people are important, and meeting the needs of other people. This church did all of those things, but they did it understanding that their primary goal, their primary mission, was to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And no matter what's going on in our lives, we need to be sharing Jesus Christ. And if we're not sharing Christ, then we're not carrying out our mission. Now, not only did they have the right motive, they had the right mission, but they also had the right message. They understood what their message was. Notice what Peter says here. He said, we're witnesses of these things. What things is he talking about? He's talking about, you put Jesus on the cross, God raised him up from the dead, and he, not only has he raised him from the dead, he's exalted him on high, and he has made him a prince, a Lord, and a Savior, and he has granted repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. That was the message that was proclaimed. What did Peter preach on the day of Pentecost? He preached, you crucified Jesus Christ. You put him on a cross. He was buried. God raised him up. God has highly exalted him. You know, and then what did Peter and John preach when they were arrested and they healed a blind man? You crucified Christ. They stood before the court, said, you put him to death. You're guilty of his blood. And God raised him up. God has highly exalted him, and God has made him Lord. Every time you look at that scripture, every time, that was a message that they proclaimed over and over again. It was a familiar message, but it was a message they continued to proclaim to the gospel. And folks, that must be our witness. We must continually proclaim that there is salvation and none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. It is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He's the message. God did everything that was necessary for us to be saved when he sent his son into the world to die on Calvary's cross. He paid the price of our sin. God raised him from the dead and conquered sin and death and its consequences. And he has raised him up to be Lord and Master over our lives. And we are to be living a life as a result to be pleasing unto him and to be obedient to him in all things because of what he's done. Folks, we need to share the message of Jesus Christ. Everything we do is about that message and sharing the gospel of Jesus and what Jesus Christ has done in the hearts and the lives. But then also they had the right method. Peter said, not only are we witnesses of these things, but so is the Holy Spirit. If you read through the book of Acts, you'll find that the Holy Spirit was doing marvelous things. There was miracles that was happening. There were signs and wonders that were taking place. Lives were being changed. People were being saved daily. And folks, I'm going to tell you, we can't do that. See, one of the hardest things for us to have to grasp and understand is that if people get saved and lives are changed and blessings of God come, it's because God is at work, not because of a preacher or not because of some hard work in which we've done, but it is because God chose to work. The Holy Spirit has to move and touch people's hearts and people's lives in order for us to come to that place to experience the blessings of God. Now, there's things we need to do. We need to be so obedient to the things in which God asks us to do, you know, and we need to begin to live for him and trust him, but it ultimately is the work of the Holy Spirit of God that begins to move into the hearts and the lives of God's people, you know, that is going to bring the blessings of God. Now, they understood. They had a motive, their right motive, to be approved of God. They understood their mission. We were to be witnesses concerning Jesus Christ. That's what God gave us a mission to do. They had the right message. It was a message of the gospel that proclaimed Jesus and Jesus only and what Jesus has done. And they understood that it was their lives and everything they did was dependent upon the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what brought the blessings. Now, but as you study the book of Acts, you'll find that this church also did some very practical things. They trusted God in the midst of opposition. There is all kinds of opposition that's going on in the world. In Acts chapter 4, they faced opposition. We're told no longer to preach in the name of Jesus. They said, we've got to continue to speak the things in which God has told us. Here in the 5th chapter, they said, no longer are you to preach and teach in the name of Jesus. We told you that. And they said, we must be obedient to God. You'll find that same thing happened in the 11th chapter of Acts, where they, even in the midst of the persecution and the opposition, they continued to trust God and to deal with that. And then, you know, we've seen at the early part of this chapter 5 that even when the opposition comes from inside of the church, they dealt with that, you know, in a very real way. And they, you know, and this church took sin seriously. That's one of the things that we don't do in our world very much. We don't take sin very seriously. We excuse our sin. We justify it. We say, well, everybody's doing that way. But folks, I'm telling you, when we continue in our sin and refuse to be obedient to God and the things of sin, we rob ourselves and our church of the blessings that God wants to give us. Peter, preaching on the day of Pentecost, says we are to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Ananias and Sapphira was dealt with very severely. It was a critical time in the life of the church. And had they allowed sin to continue within that church, the blessings of God would have ceased. And it was an important time as the beginning days of the church for the gospel to begin to be moved. So they dealt with that sin in a very serious way. Psalms 32 reminds us that if we have sin in our hearts, then God doesn't hear us and regard what we're saying. If we're going to have God's blessings, folks, we must confess our sins. Jim Scrubella calls confession of our sins the hinge that opens the doors of heaven's blessing. The greatest tragedy today is that the church, we have no burden to be delivered from the power of sin in our lives. We continue to be disobedient to God and just live like the rest of the world. Let me tell you something, God hates sin. God hates our disobedience, and God has never changed his mind about how we ought to live and what we ought to be doing. His word is always right. But he has a loving heart, and he died so that he could deal with sin and forgive us of our sin. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But in order to have God's blessings, we need to deal with the sin in our lives and our disobedience. Then I think we need not only to trust God in the midst of opposition and deal with the sin, but, you know, this church, from a very practical way to say it, they ate right. That is, they sat at the feet of the apostles. They learned from him. They studied God's word. See, to be healthy, we need to spiritually feed ourselves the right thing. That's true physically. If we're going to be healthy, we need to do the things that's going to be necessary to bring our bodies to the place that need to be and to eat the right. But to be healthy spiritually, we've got to eat right. Folks, and I'll tell you, this comes from the word of God. We need to look at God's word. We need to study God's word. We need to say, what is God's word teaching us? How does God want us to live? This is the only place we're going to find out, and we're going to be obedient. There, it's no excuse. We need to begin to pray. Prayer ought to become a regular part of our lives, asking God to show us what his will is. We need to worship and be a part of that worship and that praise and that fellowship. There's about 80 folks in here this morning. We had 40 in Sunday school this morning. I don't understand why you don't come to Bible study in Sunday school. I don't understand that. Because, you know, to be honest with you, you learn more about God in Sunday school than you're going to learn from me preaching to you in this worship service. It is there where you study the Word of God together. It's there where you fellowship with the Sunday school class together. And it's there where you need to be in that Sunday school. It's there where you're going to get to know people. People say, well, I don't know anybody. Well, you come into worship and you don't get to know them. You go to that small group and you study with that Sunday school class and look at the Word of God in an intimate detail. You will learn something about God. You'll learn something about each other. You'll build relationships with each other. And you'll have fellowship with each other. And you will learn what God wants you to do. And Bible study in Sunday school is important. And it's not just for kids. It's for all of us as we spend our time in the Word of God. You know, they trusted God in the midst of opposition. Sin was a big thing to them, and they fed themselves spiritually in every opportunity they could. But then they also focused on other people. You'll find throughout here, as you read, that there was not a needy person among them because they reached out and met the needs of other people. They witnessed everybody they came in contact with, and they preached Jesus to everybody they came in contact with. Their lives was characterized by service and giving themselves away and meeting the needs of other people. They personally sacrificed for the sake of the unity and the benefit of others. And then they depended upon God for daily direction. As you continue to read through and study this book, we'll see how they prayed and asked God to give them directions and to seek his will in all of their lives. They sought God's direction and they sought his leadership. You know, there's a lot of places that these early disciples could have gone and could have done, especially after they started the missionary journeys, but they sought God's will about where they needed to be. God led the church at Antioch to lay hands upon Paul and Silas and send them out to be missionaries. In Acts chapter 16, you'll find that Paul wanted to go into one particular area, but said the Holy Spirit forbid him and told him to go rather into Macedonia and there to continue to preach. They sought God's leadership and were obedient as God led them. And folks, that was a part of what brought the blessings of God. They sought his blessings above everything else. So the real question that comes for us, do we want the blessings of God upon our lives? There's practical things we need to do, but we need to be sure of our motive and being approved of God and want to be approved of him more than anything else and be obedient to him. We need to be sure that our mission is to be witnesses for Christ. It's not about buildings. It's not about dollars. It's not about all of those things. All of those things are simply the tools that we use in order to be the witnesses in the world that we live. And as long as they're good tools, we use them for the glory of God, and he'll be glorified by what we give and what we do and what we build and all of those things. But ultimately, it is because we become the witnesses for Christ, and we use those to be the best witness we can possibly be in the world and what God has given us. And then we understand that, you know, that our message is the same message that it has always been. It doesn't change. That we are sinners. We need Jesus Christ. He has done everything necessary for us to be saved. And if we confess our sin and we repent of that sin and turn from that sin and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then the same Christ who died for us and God raised from the dead and exalted us, Lord, through his Holy Spirit will save us and we'll be born again and brought into the kingdom of God. And then we need to depend upon the Holy Spirit to live our lives and to be the witnesses that we need to be within this world. Because we need to be sharing the message of Christ. I close with a little story that I read. Several years ago, a preacher told a story about a church in Memphis, Tennessee. He was preaching a revival, and there was a very active youth group in that church. And there was a boy in that group that was blind. And another teenager stayed with him all the time. They kind of took turns in that church. And wherever that, you know, needed a blind boy to get around, he always had one of his companions or our youth group to go with him and lead him around wherever he wanted to go. But during the service, as they were preaching revival service, one night the Spirit of God began to move and touch people's hearts and people's lives. And God began to touch the hearts and lives of many of the young people, and they responded and came down to the invitation, including those who were sitting with this little blind teenager. After the service, he was seen struggling, holding on to the sides of the other pews, trying to get to the front. He came stumbling to the front, and when the preacher saw him, he kind of rushed over to him, and the little blind boy was weeping, just tears running out of his eyes. And he said, "I wanted to come, but I had no one to show me the way." Because I believe with all of my heart, there's a power of the Holy Spirit of God when we become his witnesses. There's people out there who are wanting to come, who are wanting to know Jesus, who are wanting to trust him, who are wanting to live for him. They are there. They're there. The problem is they have no one to show them. When we take our responsibility seriously as the Church of Jesus Christ, we will do whatever we have to do in order to share the message so that people can come to know him as Savior and Lord. Some of you here today need to trust Jesus as your Savior. Some of you here today need to confess that you hadn't been the witness you ought to be and renew your commitment to the Lord to be the witness God wants you to be. Main thing is we just need to say, God, what do you want us to do? We want to live for you. We want to serve you. We want to be approved by you. So what can we do to walk worthy of you and to please you in all things? If we approach the invitation with that kind of spirit, then God will speak to our hearts. And then we simply say, I'm going to be obedient to God as he leads me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to worship and to be a part of this time. We're grateful for those that you saved this week. There are still others that are struggling with the decisions, and some that they have made those decisions and are struggling with following through. We just pray that your Holy Spirit would touch their lives even right now. And then we pray for those in this service today who need to make decisions. That you know our hearts. Nothing that I can say or anybody can say is going to make a difference unless your Holy Spirit speaks to us and draws us to yourself. You're the one who has to convict us. You're the one who has to draw us. So we're praying that you would draw us to yourself today and that you would be glorified by what we do. And it is in Jesus' name that we ask it.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.